Ramsey TV.
Why didn't our Lord cast Satan out of Judas when Satan entered that man at the Last Supper? Man, Jesus could have saved himself if he just exercised that Christian prerogative of casting out the devil whenever you feel like it. Yeah. Well, hello everyone. This is Martin Zender. Gonna risk the great outdoors today. I'm recording this on Monday evening. As soon as I sat down, these insane birds started chirping along the lines of the Alfred Hitchcock movie, so I hope they stay away. Airplanes taking off from the airport, dogs barking, fire trucks, but we risk all here on MZTV. I'm going to get into the topic of Satan and God's control over him and the mysterious way that God doesn't seem to control him. But first, I want to assure everyone that the conference in Short Pump, Virginia, is that the name of the town, Short Pump? Yeah, Short Pump, Virginia. It's a suburb of Richmond. It's still on. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's still on. Memorial Day weekend, that's at the end of May. You need to contact Greg Davis if you have any questions. He has all the hotel information and, of course, the time as far as what time the conference starts. We'll be getting that information to you. Well, basically, I already have it. Here's the system. Friday night is a meet and greet. We don't know where that's going to be yet. Saturday, all day, we go hard. Boom, boom, boom. Teaching, teaching, teaching. I'm going to be there. Don't know who else is going to be teaching, but I won't steal the whole show, don't worry. And Sunday, it's a half a day. So get ready for a three-day extravaganza. I'd love to see you there. I'd also like to take this opportunity to thank everyone who supports this work. It's so humbling that God has continued to work a miracle every month for 29 years. I mean, I never know when or where the money's coming from, but God makes sure that he puts it on people's hearts, different people at different times. I don't control it. I don't control any of it. I'm telling you, it's a miracle. If I had my dirty hands in any of it, I'd get the chills. I'd get the creepies. I can't do it. I would foul it. You see, it's a God thing, totally a God thing. But for those who are new, I will say this much, that yes, this is a grassroots operation. No one is required to contribute anything. Watch the show, enjoy it. Everything online is free. My articles, I've got 400 articles via newsletters at my website, martinzender.com. I got over 1,600 videos on YouTube. It's all free. It's all free. The books cost money because it costs money to print the books. So imbibe of it. Pass it on free. And anyone who wants to use my writing, they can use it. Just copy it and paste it. Put your own name on it. I don't even care. I told you, I'd gotten so low in the past that books that I had written, I don't even care if other people put their names on them as the author. I just want the information out there. I used to be so concerned about that, protecting my work and all this. Screw it. I just want the information out there. I don't care anymore. So anybody wants to send anything of mine to anybody, go ahead. You don't even have to credit me. If you want to, you can. Great. But I don't care anymore. I used to, like I said. If you want to contribute to the work, there's a link down here, or you can find it at my homepage at the top left. It says something like, help Martin do his work, or contribute, or give a gift to the world's most outspoken Bible scholar. I don't know. All I know is that God makes it happen. He puts it on your hearts, and I am deeply appreciative of it. I don't say it often enough. I really don't, but thank you. Thank you. From the bottom of my heart, from the bottom of the Floridian Peninsula. Oh, so I want you to email Greg. He's Greg Davis. He's one of the organizers. So is the pirate. So is my friend Wallace Barnett. UniRec@protonmail.com. UniRec is short for Universal Reconciliation. Clever man, this Greg Davis. go to UniRec, UNIREC at protonmail.com. I'll put it down here. Hope to see you at the conference in May. Or better yet, hope to see you in the air with the Lord tonight. That would be great. I'm ready for this eon to end. It's getting kind of longish. So let's read John 13:27. As soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered into him. So Jesus told him, "What you are about to do, do quickly." What? Now, you would think that Jesus would be the ultimate Christian. And what do Christians do? Why? They make a living out of casting out the devil. And the way they do it, it's quite complicated. It has to do with volume. Satan responds to volume. You have to be very loud. And you have to have the right attitude. You have to be determined. You can't just say, like, "Get behind me, Satan," or, "Satan, I cast you out." No, no, that'll never do. "Satan, I cast thee out." You have to use King James language. "I cast thee out." Don't forget the volume. You have to emphasize the right syllables. I recommend emphasizing the verbs. It just doesn't sound right to say, "I cast thee out," or, "I cast thee out." Well, it might work to emphasize the personal pronoun "I." Christians do like that pronoun. But anyway, it also helps to get a group of people at the same time focusing on the same project, that is, casting out Satan. Because humans have such power over Satan, don't you know? Satan listens to all human beings. I mean, he's just waiting to get his instructions from groups of religious people who speak loudly, yelling really helps. I mean, just lose control. Get red in the face, sweat helps, and you have to wear a suit. Woo! That really intimidates the big boy. So wear a suit. But no, what does Jesus do? The unexpected. Even though he has the power to cast out Satan, surely the Lord knew that as he handed the bread to Judas, Satan entered him. And at that time, Jesus should have said, "In the name of myself." Oh, I forgot to say that for any Christians watching this, or if anybody wants to cast out Satan, you have to do it in the name of Jesus. You must say Jesus in that way. And this lady behind me walking her dog probably thinks I'm nuts. There you go. How you doing? In the name of Jesus. That's it. And if other people are around, you must say this. "Place your hand upon the hand of the man of God." Sorry. That's the Ernest Angley line. "Put your hand on the television screen. Lay your hand upon the hand of the man of God and receive the Holy Spirit power, and Satan will be driven away from your life." Well, no, because the whole point of my message here is that God needs Satan. He created Satan to do what he is doing, and Jesus would in no way have cast Satan out of Judas because he needed Judas to do what he was meant to do, and that was to betray him. And Jesus wanted to get it over with. So he says, "What you must do, what you are about to do, do quickly." Like, let's get it over with. Can't blame Jesus for that one. So this flies in the face of Christian protocol. And I love it when that happens. And it happens quite frequently in the scriptures. You have to feel for Judas, really, because how can you blame Judas when Satan entered the man? That's what it took. Satan couldn't rely on Judas's diabolicalness or his deviousness, his treachery. Couldn't rely on it. So he said, "Okay, everybody spread out. I'm doing this job myself. I can't trust this to my subordinates. I am going to enter Judas himself to make sure this loser does what he's supposed to do." I mean, if you have any ounce of humanity in you, any ounce of empathy, you have to empathize with Judas here. It was prophesied about him 1,000 years before his birth. "The one to whom I give my bread, the one to whom I give the bread sets his heel against me," from the Psalms. Judas was that guy. He gets the bread, Satan comes into him. What?
Yeah.
God needed Satan, Jesus Christ needed Satan, to do what he did. That was his role as a vessel of dishonor. Vessels of honor have their roles. Vessels of dishonor have their roles. Judas so despised what he did. It was so not him, as wrecked as the guy was. It was so not him that when Satan left him, he hung himself because he despised what he had done under the influence of Satan. Talk about being under the influence. Talk about being under the influence. Well, that was Judas all the way. But I have to remind you that God created Satan to do these devious things. Satan is God's left-hand man. God created Satan to do what he did. Yes, to do what he always does. God needed an adversary to oppose him the whole way through the scriptures, the whole way through the Aeonian times. As I've told you many times, any author, any playwright, any screenwriter needs an adversary, needs a bad guy, needs a heavy against which the heroes strive and the heroes conquer. And eventually, at the end of any good novel or play or movie, everything works out better in the end. And wait till you see how this whole thing works out in the end, because even Satan himself will be redeemed from himself, because he is part of the all creation that will be reconciled to God through the blood of the cross. That is Colossians 1:20. I'm not making any of this up. Oh, speaking of not making any of this up, how would you like to know how Satan began? Do you want to know? Well, we have a clue from Job. Job 26:13. This is a play-by-play recount of how God created the heavens and also created Satan. Listen to this. The intricacy of the language in the Concordant version of the Old Testament is exquisite. Job 26:13. By his spirit, capital H, by his spirit the heavens were made seemly, but his hand travailed with the fugitive serpent. What does that mean? God's spirit speaks of an intimacy. When God created the heavens, it was something he enjoyed. It was a beautiful thing. It was fun for him. And so by his spirit, the heavens were made seemly or beautiful or orderly, pretty. But his hand travailed with the fugitive serpent, creating Satan. And by the way, I'll give you another verse. I create the ruiner to harm. That is Isaiah 45:16. I have created the ruiner to harm. I believe this is speaking of the adversary, Satan, the devil. God created him to harm. He needs him for that, so that he could oppose him and show his characteristics against a foil, against an adversary, against the heavy. It's the hero against the heavy. But at the end of the play, everybody shakes hands. Everybody's playing a part. This is a big stage, and everybody has a part. I think often of The Wizard of Oz. A great story where Ray Bolger, who played the Scarecrow in The Wizard of Oz, and Margaret Hamilton, who played the Wicked Witch of the West. They were great friends, but not in the movie. No, in the movie, Margaret Hamilton threw fireballs at Ray Bolger, who was made of straw. Straw and fireballs do not well mix. And yet there she was. Scarecrow didn't like it. But they were friends in real life. I think that's beautiful. There will be a day when Satan and Judas and Christ will all be friends, and they'll be shaking hands after the production. Well done, well done. After the judgment, of course. There must be judgment to set things right in the minds of the vessels of dishonor. Isaiah 45:16, I created the ruiner to harm. The King James says, I created the waster to destroy. I actually like the King James version better there, but the Concordant is more accurate. There's another verse you need to know. That's John 8:44, where Jesus says, Satan was a man killer from the beginning. God made him that way, from the beginning. Along that line, before I go back to the Last Supper, there are two passages in Scripture that seem to teach that Satan was a good being, a good angel. I was taught this in grade school back in Catholic Church. Satan was a good angel See, because this is Christians trying to get rid of the idea that God does anything unseemly, that God would do anything like evil, even though God created evil. Isaiah 45:7. I create good, I create evil, I the Lord do all these things. They don't like that on God's resume. They're trying to help God, so they would try to put the responsibility on Satan. So the theory goes, and this is common. I used to believe this. God made Satan wonderful and beautiful, and Satan, of his own free will, fell. There's two passages of Scripture that are generally twisted to teach this. Ezekiel 28, which speaks of the king of Tyre, and Isaiah 14, speaking of the king of Babylon. These magistrates, the king of Tyre, king of Babylon, are conflated to be Satan. But I wrote an article disproving this, and it's quite a complex article. It was from a ZWTF. I will link it down here. Go down here in the links, hit the button, show more. Go down there, you'll see my ZWTF article explaining the origins of Satan. Very important to know. Because if you think Satan is off the leash, my God, how could you sleep at night? If Satan had a free will, what in the world? God couldn't do anything to checkmate him. Think of it. I mean, it's bad enough 8 billion humans supposedly have a free will, which is a lie. But that Satan has a free will, whoo, that's scary. But he doesn't. He's doing exactly what God needs him to do, to the point that Jesus says to Judas, but basically he's saying it to Satan. Think of that. Jesus is actually saying this to Satan. What you must do, do quickly. Ah, I could cry for Judas, because the man so hated what he had done that when Satan left him, he hung himself, couldn't handle it. Man, I often think if he just waited 3 more days, he would have seen his Lord again. But I don't blame him for hanging himself on a tree. I don't blame him. I would have done the same thing. What a horrible thing. Just such sadness in the world, really. It's just horrible. But you got to quickly get out of that mode. So I'm going to slap myself out of that. And looking at the outcome, in one way, I want to say it's only a movie. It's only a movie. No, but this is all too real. It's a real movie. But in the end, all the actors are going to come together and have a laugh and a beer. Talk about the old days during the Aeonian times. Remember when I entered Judas? Jesus says, yeah, that was a good one. Judas says, remember when I hung myself? Yeah, that was a good one. Boy, if you end the story there, how sad it is. What a crazy, stupid plan God has come up with. But if everything comes out beautifully in the end, and if we couldn't have gotten to the happiness without the evil, then everything is justified. And God will be justified in all his works. Those of us who have insight by reading the freaking Bible and believing what it says, we know that everything's going to work out. We already know God's in control. We already know that Satan's on a leash. Not just on a leash, but every movement of his is controlled by God. Because God is operating all things according to the counsel of his will. Now, before I end this show, I'm not about to end it, don't worry. I'm going to keep going here. But it's so interesting that at the end of Revelation, Satan is cast into the submerged chaos. He's bound with a chain. All of a sudden, it's easy to bind Satan with a chain. There's no record of any struggle, of any resistance. It just says, and a strong angel came down and bound Satan with a chain and put him in the submerged chaos for 1,000 years. That's it. Again, no struggle, no tasers, no tear gas, no smoke bombs, no SWAT team going in. One angel. That's it. We're done with you for now. Rap, rap, rap. Down you go into the submerged chaos. I don't know where the submerged chaos is. I think it's somewhere in New Jersey. And then, after the 1,000 years is finished, like 45 days before it's finished, I think, or maybe it's 75 days, Satan is loosed, just like that, to deceive the nations. And then he goes out to start doing his thing. but it doesn't last long, because those armies that Satan gets up from Gog and Magog, which don't exist now, by the way. There's no such thing as Gog and Magog now. You won't find it. Some people think Gog is Russia. Magog is, I don't know, Ukraine? Who knows? But no, these are strange names. How would you like to live in Gog? What's your address? Well, I live at, I live in Gog. Oh, that's horrible. Well, it's better than my cousin. He lives in Magog. No, these are nations that will exist at the end of the 1,000 years. Don't look for them now. Don't conflate them with any modern nation. So at the end, Satan's loosed to deceive the nations on the four corners of the earth, those nations that were judged in Matthew 25 that were dispersed to the four corners, far away from the capital city of Jerusalem. Well, that rebellion, and they get up a rebellion. They're not even happy with a 1,000-year kingdom. They're not happy with grapes the size of volleyballs, watermelons the size of Volkswagens. No, they get up a rebellion. Ugh, it's crazy. There's a reason for that. I'll tell you in another show. I covered it in the Revelation series. That's also free for you to watch. 800 shows, Revelation series. Go to martinzender.com, scroll down until you see Zender on Revelation. So, that rebellion is short-lived, and Satan is grabbed again. And this time he goes to the lake of fire, which for him is not the second death, because it's not called the second death until Revelation 20:14. Satan's cast in the lake of fire in Revelation 20:10. And there's only three people, I misspoke. There's only three spiritual beings who are tormented alive for the eons of the eons in the lake of fire, and that is the beast, the adversary, and the false prophet. The false prophet would be the name for the spiritual entity that possessed the false prophet. So it's not called the second death until Revelation 20:14, four verses later, when human beings are cast there, because human beings die in fire. Spiritual beings do not die in fire. They're tormented. They don't like it. I don't think they like the submerged chaos either. But anybody who's landed at Newark Airport understands this. Anybody who's had a layover at Newark understands this. But again, it's remarkable. Satan comes, Satan goes, at the will of God. Why then wasn't Satan apprehended in the Garden of Eden before he could have tempted Adam and Eve and sent the whole race into bondage to sin and death? Apparently, it's easy to apprehend him. Why didn't God do it then, before all this trouble started? You know why? Because you're the smartest audience on YouTube. Because God needed him. God wanted him. God made him to be what he was. And as long as he needs him, he's going to let him go, relatively speaking. But when he no longer needs, and he needed him at the Last Supper, somebody had to do it. It's pitiful. There you go. That is called a vessel of dishonor. And that will prove to you that vessels of dishonor do not choose to be that. And the corollary is true. Vessels of honor do not choose to be that. We didn't choose to be vessels of honor. It's just, I hate to say it this way, but I'm going to. The luck of the draw. God decided that he wanted you to be a vessel of honor, irrespective of your behavior. And God decided that he wanted Judas to be a vessel of dishonor, irrespective of his behavior. Well, no, Martin, Judas was already a bad person, and that's why Satan entered into him. No. I admit he wasn't the greatest person, but God made him that way too. He was a vessel of dishonor in order to become more of a vessel of dishonor. He was already a vessel of dishonor by pilfering from the purse. Yeah, he was in charge of the finances of that ragtag fugitive fleet known as Jesus and his disciples. He was one of the 12. Jesus picked him out. And he knew that he was an enemy. He knew what he was. Didn't take him by surprise. You kidding me? Don't kid me like that. So it is easy to bind Satan. It is easy to release Satan. Everything's easy for God. The fact that he hasn't done it yet tells you that he still needs him. Yeah, he still needs him. But when the time is right, he'll apprehend them with no problem, no fight, no mace, no tasers, no tear gas. If anyone believes in the sovereignty of Satan, if anyone believes that God is truly in a life and death struggle with the adversary, I don't know how you sleep at night. It's not going to turn out well. You have no assurance that it will turn out well. But if God is in control of his universe and all the creatures in his universe, including Satan, and if God's the mastermind, and if he's the ultimate author, and if he had the plan set out beforehand and knows exactly where it's going, exactly what players he needs to get us to a successful conclusion, that's a God I worship. That is the true God, and I can rest in that God, knowing that he is operating all things in accord with the counsel of his will.